and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We hear the word of the Lord from Revelation chapter 7. When one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." It's almost over, and here they are setting you up for a bloodbath. That's what happened with these people who came out of the great tribulation. They got out of the tribulation by being slaughtered, murdered, martyred for the faith. Not a pleasant thought early in the morning when you already have finals coming up next week. What, death and destruction on top of finals? That's not quite fair. But as it says, they came out of it and they have triumphed. And it's not an unusual thing. I don't care how you label it, there are people in this world who are murdering Christians just because they're Christians to this day, and there are people right now planning to murder more Christians because they don't want Jesus Christ. They don't want the truth. They don't want the faith. They want nothing to do with him. And they think they can get rid of him by blotting him out, by blotting out the lives of those who profess him, who live him. But it just doesn't happen that way. Because Christians have already gone through a bloodbath, the bath that Jesus experienced on the cross. He who was slaughtered, he who was martyred, he who was murdered for you and for me, for all mankind, poured out his blood that we might be forgiven, that we might be redeemed, that we might be saved, that we might not worry about what the world is going to do to us, because we already have a place secure with him now and forevermore. When he came to earth, he knew what his final examination was going to be. He knew that he would be wrestling throughout his life with the temptations of Satan to abandon the path that had been prepared from all eternity, to desert what his Father had called him to do and what he willingly and gladly intended to do. Even in the garden on the night that he was betrayed, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done." And these people testifying before the throne of God now in Revelation pick up that refrain. "Not my will. I don't want to die. I don't want to be a martyr. I gladly live for Jesus. I gladly talk about Jesus, but don't kill me for Jesus." But the saints who have gone before us realize one thing. They have already died in Christ. In baptism, they took Christ's blood bath as their own. They received Calvary, the destruction of their own sins, and they also received Easter and the resurrection and life everlasting. If you have been through a near-death experience, accident or illness, car crash, sickness, nothing scares you very much anymore. And as a Christian, the more you realize that you truly have already died, that in Christ your sins are dead and buried, the old you is a corpse that was put away 2,000 years ago in a tomb, and that the new you lives with Christ, with these white-robed people celebrating before the throne of God, that's what gives us the strength, the courage, the confidence to go forward. It's terrifying to die, but sometimes it's more terrifying to live with no purpose, no reason. But you have a purpose. You have a reason. You have a calling because you have a Savior. A Savior who loves you, a Savior who lived for you, a Savior who died for you, and who, miracle of miracles, now lives for you once again. And you within and for him. You are God's workmanship. But God had to tear you apart to destroy you on the cross in your baptism so that you could be reworked into the person and have the purpose that he intended for you from all creation, to know him, to love him, and to live with and for one another. And if that means death as a witness, then death it is. If it means life as a witness, then life it is. Because whether we die or whether we live with Christ. We live for Christ. We live through Christ. We are remade in his image, for his purposes, by his love. As the scriptures tell us, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because we are worked into the very fabric of the divinity by baptism, by God's creating, recreating hands in our lives through his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Daily, sometimes hourly or minute by minute, giving God our fresh sins that we might receive his fresh and abounding and everlasting forgiveness. Yes, you are witnesses to Christ. I pray that none of you experiences what these white-robed martyrs before the throne of God did, but if you do, God will grant you the strength to endure. And if you don't, and if he gives you a long and happy and relatively uneventful life, good for that too. Because it gives you even more opportunity to interact with others, to be the voice of Christ, the hands of Christ, in whatever place he sets you, to receive his forgiveness, to live his love, to have faith in his Father who sent him, and fervent love toward one another. You are already clothed in the white robes of righteousness, of baptism, that Christ washed in his blood. And from that blood bath, you now are beautiful and holy in God's sight. God grant that you cling to this forgiveness and live in his love now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.